Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Premium Automobile Studios.
Powering your drive with 10 brands and 20 locations.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
It is Dom time. Welcome in. And, you know, sometimes radio crazy, the stuff you schedule. The Globetrotters, as we told you yesterday, they're on a really tight schedule. They'll be here about 12:15. We can do two shows in one. But I want to get your reaction, 855-839-1210, to what President Trump just said. He also said there would be, in an hour, specific information released. I would have rather have seen it released then. To back this up, here's how I see it. I've always said when you have a situation like this, if there is a point to be made and you're dead certain about it and it's accurate, it's fine to make that point despite how horrific this is, because fear of flying is a very public matter. And some of the stuff he said and Vance said are true about the lowering of standards and some of the stuff that goes into this and what the fears are that people have. But at least on the tape that I have so far, I don't see how we're pinning this on the air traffic controller or the air traffic controller being strained because of all these incompetent people that are in there. Now, you know, in my heart of hearts, it's something you don't fool around with. I'm in agreement with it in a broad manner. But I'm just saying, I think you got to be accurate about that when you have people dead like this in this situation. So we'll see in an hour what new information is released. I don't know if that means tapes, et cetera. If you're just joining us, I think this gets at a little bit of the heart of what President Trump, where he went with this. Part one, cut 19.
So as you know, last week, long before the crash, I signed an executive order restoring our highest standards for air traffic controllers and other important jobs throughout the country. So it was very interesting. About a week ago, almost upon entering office, I signed something last week that was an executive order, very powerful one, restoring the highest standards of air traffic controllers and others, by the way. And my administration will set the highest possible bar for aviation safety. We have to have our smartest people. It doesn't matter what they look like, how they speak, who they are. It matters intellect, talent, the word talent. They have to be talented, naturally talented geniuses. You can't have regular people doing that job. They won't be able to do it. But we'll restore faith in American air travel. I'll have more to say about that. I do want to point out that various articles that appeared prior to my entering office. And here's one. The FAA's diversity push includes focus on hiring people with severe intellectual and psychiatric disabilities. That is amazing. And then it says FAA says people with severe disabilities are most underrepresented segment of the workforce, and they want them in, and they want them. They can be air traffic controllers. I don't think so. This was in January 14th, so that was a week before I entered office. They put a big push to put diversity into the FAA's program.
All right. Now, Trump, I was all set until we saw this news conference, was being attacked today by Morning Joe, and we'll play it later in the show, talking about, well, this is why we don't need inexperienced picks in the cabinet. He was attacked by this professor that's apparently a guru of all this stuff in Washington on Wednesday before this happened, blaming Trump for future crashes because of the pushback on federal employees. You know that angle, the angle being, oh, all these darling federal employees, all them are geniuses or air traffic controllers. No, that's not the case. So I would have rather, if he wanted to, bring up some of these things and then just make clear where and what he's trying to do. But it just came too close to blaming this air traffic controller in this situation. And Trump knows something about flying helicopters, etc. But from the tape that we have, the question I had, and I hope Pete Hegseth gets to, is this, and it may be the military's calculated this, is it worth it? Does this simulate combat situations to have helicopters in this in this manner? Or given, I heard in several places, this is the busiest landing strip where they were going to land in America at the Reagan Airport, the particular landing strip. Would they be better served to train in a more remote area? Yeah, I start thinking about drones and everything else. In other words, why does it have to be in here? Have they examined that? If they believe that it has to be because that simulates combat situations, well, then, okay. But is it fair at this point to say this is about the air traffic control situation here? That's what did it in this situation. Plane itself, as far as I can tell, couldn't do too much in this. It seems to me that helicopter had a lot more maneuverability. It was a training mission. It was a pretty clear night. You had two veteran pilots and one in training. So is the air traffic controller's message to them reassuring, and that was an error? They wouldn't see the plane? I mean, these are real questions. It's going to take a lot of breakdown, and they're deceased, and so are the people aboard the plane. So it's fair to bring the air traffic controller in. It's fair to drill to the bottom of this. I just want to see how accurate it is, because when you do it when it's this fresh, something that we've just seen, you got to realize there's a lot of pain here, a lot of horror here. If it is accurate and the information released in an hour or so, there are other tapes indicating something amiss here, then yeah, that's transparency. But this is an amazing last 20 minutes that we've seen, without a doubt. And it is a situation where I think this administration, Duffy in charge, Hegseth, will get answers out there versus the usual lag of 2 or 3 years and all the nonsense that goes along with it. So we're pretty hopeful that that will be answered in about an hour during the show. We're watching Kash Patel exchange with Mazie Hirono. I haven't seen Tulsi's and RFK Jr. This has dwarfed everything else. But we'll cover it as the highlights start to come our way. We're going to talk with someone who is the chief consultant lawyer to RFK Jr. there with him in Washington once the hearing's over today. But we'll take your calls on this. President Trump, here's a little bit more of what he said. And this part is true, too. He talked about dwarfism. Cut two.
Then another article, the Federal Aviation Administration. This was before I got to office recently, second term. The FAA is actively recruiting workers who suffer severe intellectual disabilities, psychiatric problems, and other mental and physical conditions under a diversity and inclusion hiring initiative spelled out on the agency's website. Can you imagine? These are people that are, I mean, actually, their lives are shortened because of the stress that they have. Brilliant people, have to be in those positions, and their lives are actually shortened, very substantially shortened, because of the stress where you have many, many planes coming into one target. And you need a very special talent and a very special genius to be able to do it. Targeted disabilities are those disabilities that the federal government, as a matter of policy, has identified for special emphasis in recruitment and hiring. The FAA's website states they include hearing, vision, missing extremities, partial paralysis, complete paralysis, epilepsy, severe intellectual disability, psychiatric disability, and dwarfism all qualify.
All right. So that's where we stand. Coming up, we have the Globetrotters in studio, and I realize it's kind of a disjointed day with what's happened, but these are great guys. It'll be a lot of fun here. You can watch on YouTube. That's where to go.
The big dude, Dom.
Yeah, we're going to see how I saw him last night. We were at the Sixers game. Not him, the other guy. I think it's the other guy. Pace. The guy from, Pace.
Oh, well, regrettably only Joey's going to be joining us. Hot Rod De La Rosa, the seven-footer.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, that's all right. If he can show us how to spin a ball, that's what we're waiting for. Yeah. All right, here we go. They're coming in studio. The Globetrotters next. Follow on YouTube, youtube.com/1210WPHT. And we will continue to monitor the information coming from the Trump White House. Is it going to be more specific than what we heard? That's what's promised. And we'll listen to it all together on Talk Radio 1210. All right, Dom Giordano Show, and in studio, a legitimate seven-footer, not like Dan Borowski, my producer.
I never claimed
see
I
that
was
guy
7 feet.
Does he look like he's 6 foot eight? Stand
I'm
up for a second.
I'm 6 foot eight.
There you go. He's 6 foot seven and 9/10.
If he say he's 6'8", I must give him 6'8".
All right.
I have no athletic ability.
In studio with us is Joey Hot Rod De La Rosa. Joey, how long with the Globetrotters?
This is my fourth season. My fourth season with the Harlem Globetrotters. I just got done with training camp. Literally a month ago.
You guys
ago.
Have a training camp. Wait
yes,
a minute.
Sir.
You always win. What do you need in a training camp?
Well, that's why they stay so good, right?
Yeah. Where do you think we get all these tricks from? All these fancy tricks. We got to practice them some point, right?
Now, did you always do these, or did you go to the Globetrotters? You wanted to be with them, and then you learned the tricks.
Yeah. Definitely before I was a Globetrotter, I didn't have no tricks. When I became a Globetrotter, that's when I definitely knew how to spin a ball. I'm my finger faster. I learned all the tricks. I picked up my signature moves at the end of my magic
circle. Now, you see, this is a problem I was going to tell you. As a shooter, really a gunner when I played,
Okay.
I don't like to shoot with the ABA ball. You know,
okay.
That type of... It looks funny in the air.
Back in the days,
I need just the one that my producer has in there.
Oh, come on. You're such a prick.
I don't know how you guys do that, but you're going to teach us, for listeners, youtube.com/1210WPHT, how to spin a ball.
Okay, yeah. I could do that. I could do that for sure.
Do you also teach me how to do a sky hook? Because I heard that might be
is that your shot, the sky hook?
Most definitely. Sky hooks, hook shot, shock put, anything.
I want you to come back every year because I am such a fan of the hook shot.
Okay.
The jump hook, though, is what I do.
Yeah, okay.
You know, because you can do the push.
Demonstrate,
the push,
Dom, demonstrate.
Yeah, the push off with this, and then get it back here, and then the jump.
Don't push off, just have that
okay,
arm bar.
Right, well,
have that arm bar.
Arm bar, okay, yeah. But you do the sky hook.
Yep. The one leg up, and then the... Just flick it up.
Oh, man, even the leg up. Now,
are you doing that from, like, half court or?
At a Globetrotter game, we definitely got to do it from half court. When we playing in the game, I'm right in there, right in the cylinder, around the cylinder.
Gotcha.
So what happened to the hook shot, though? I mean, it's like when it's a great shot, and suddenly they said in basketball, no hook shots.
Yeah. I feel like the game of basketball has been... It's getting away from back to the basket bigs, and
yes,
now they're going to like
exactly.
Big mans that can kind of shoot the three and that could dribble and do a little bit of everything. So most of the big guys you see nowadays, they don't want to play on the post. They want to shoot the three and they want to.
That's an Embiid shot. It's Joel Embiid. There we go. He wasn't there last night playing. So what did you? 100 years next year of
the
Globetrotters.
Yep. We're at 99 years this year, and then next year will be the 100-year anniversary. Big things coming.
Now, we're going March 2nd. It'll be at the Wells Fargo Center. You do a noon and you do a 5. Yep, so that's a lot of games in one day.
Yeah.
Are you still playing the Generals? Who do you play now?
Yeah. We definitely are playing the Washington Generals. They're trying to still beat us. You know, they haven't won since 1971, so.
Well, wait a minute now. Our research said there was another game and it made big headlines. You're saying back to 71. I thought it happened in the last 20 years or so.
Yeah. 20 years? Nah. 71. Let me ask you a question. Are you a Generals fan or a Harlem Globetrotters fan?
It sounds like he's a Generals fan.
No, I'm not. I'm a Globetrotters fan. Okay, but, I like to. I remember that upset. I once played against the guy, Red Klotz, I think it was.
Okay.
You know, he played before you did. Two-hand set shot and everything.
Okay.
He was the coach player, yeah.
Okay. So,
yeah. What makes a good opponent for you guys?
I think the Washington Generals are great opponents. Those guys are very skilled. Those guys come out and play every single night. They are really, you got good shooters on that team.
No, but I meant for the act, for the fans, the entertainment.
What was it? What makes it good?
Yeah.
I just think coming to a Harlem Globetrotter, it's the best experience you can have. It's not only for kids, it's for adults too.
Oh, sure.
You're going to see some amazing slam dunks. You're going to see some amazing trick shots. You're going to see me come sit right next to you, eat a little bit of your popcorn and drink some of your soda.
Oh, you're the popcorn guy.
Don't tell nobody that,
though. When you did the training, did you go back and see? Well, you always liked them. Who was your Meadowlark Lemon?
That's who I remember seeing. Meadowlark, Sweet Lou Dunbar, Curly Neal. When
Curly
I was like
Neal,
seven years old.
Yeah.
On Scooby-Doo,
right? Yeah.
On Scooby-Doo, yeah.
Yeah.
Me too.
Well, I saw Meadowlark Lemon doing this job. I got to be in front of something like that. And the guy could shoot 50, 60 feet, just flicking it almost.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I never seen that. I got to go back on YouTube or all the files. I got to tell the Harlem Globetrotters to send me the files.
Any new Scooby-Doos coming out with the Harlem Globetrotters?
You said what?
Any new Scooby-Doos coming out with the Harlem Globetrotters?
I don't know, because I know I went back to it, and they said it was an episode to be continued. So That was when I was seven years old. But I remember when I was 9 years old, my first Harlem Globetrotter experience was when I was 7 years old. They came into my school on 183rd Street in the Bronx in New York City. And they was doing all these fancy tricks that I go out there and do today. And I was like, wow. Later that day, I had to tell somebody. I told my mom, my dad. I said, Mom, I'm going to be a basketball player. She's like, you're too small, Joey, to be a basketball player.
How tall were you then? My God.
I don't know. I was probably like 4 feet. And then that day, they inspired me to play the game of basketball, which led me to go to Mount Vernon Academy, which is the number one high school in the country basketball.
Yeah, exactly.
That got the opportunity.
St. John's.
Yeah, to get recruited, to go to play college at Florida International, then transfer to St. John's, and then go play overseas in China, Thailand, Malaysia, República Dominicana. Nicaragua, and then I get the phone call. Would you want to try out for the Harlem Globetrotters? So a whole bunch of full circle moments for me.
Where's the place that would be the wildest you played? I think the Globetrotters I've seen play on an aircraft carrier.
Oh yeah. We do that sometimes. That's the military tour.
Yeah.
So we go bouncing from different military bases. I haven't been able to do that, but I've been hearing, like, from my teammates who are Shane Scooter Christensen. He's been on the team for 19 years, and he done it, and he said that was, like, one of the most amazing experience. He did that because he was on the aircraft, and they was playing basketball, and he sees F-14s, F-18s flying over his head while he's taking a jump
shot.
I was like, that's crazy.
Who's your favorite player in the NBA?
My favorite player in the NBA? I don't think I really have a favorite player in the NBA. I just like to watch a few teams play. I like to watch the Lakers, LeBron.
Remember, if you're in Philadelphia. But.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Well, you can't say he's a Sixers fan.
I mean, the other night.
I was at the Sixers game last night, if that makes it any better.
Yeah, you guys played pretty well.
Yeah, you guys got two back-to-back wins. So
Four. Yeah, it's shocking. Missing a big guy, and we're missing some others.
They're probably going to use you.
Exactly,
definitely.
Henry, why don't you come in? We got to set up here. So. Tell us, what are some of the fundamentals? Are you a guy to twist this way, or do you twist it, throw it that way?
I twist in like how you did.
I saw a guy demonstrate and was a Globetrotter. That's insane to twist it that way.
Yeah, I twist that way, and if I throw it up in the air with both hands, I twist the opposite side.
Ooh. But Want to show us that?
Yeah,
can we
most
get
definitely.
That on camera right
most
over
definitely.
Here? Yeah, Henry? Well, Dan, where should...
Yeah, you can come right in front of the sign over there.
Right.
And let's set him up over in the front of the sign. Let me get the camera.
Yeah, right over here, Joey. There we go. We got to move the camera around.
We're
going to
move the camera up there. YouTube.com/@12andWPHE. You got to go see this. Let's get Dom and...
I'll hold the ball.
All right, Dan, you take over here. Yeah.
All right. Move that mic close to you, though, there, Dom.
Because I got big hands. So I hold a ball in between the seams like this. And then I just go like this. Throw it up in the air.
Henry, you first. Henry, you first.
Henry?
Oh, you can palm. Okay. Oh, yeah. That's not bad.
That's not bad at all.
Look how short Henry looks right now. This is great.
Hey, I don't look short, though. His lips are really helping. All right,
you got this, Dom.
Just twist it up in the air, then stick your finger under it. Oh, this is going to be impossible.
Oh, come on. That's your role, Dom. Dom, you got to do better.
Oh, boy.
Yep. A lot of expensive equipment here. Wait a minute, Dan. How about this? It's unblockable.
Elbow him.
Try it again, Henry. Show us again.
Just to show you. I keep my hands on the seams.
Right.
I got big hands, and then I just give it that torch right here. So you want to see the flares. So when you got it up like that, you want to see the flares, and then it's right here.
Ooh. Now, can you do anything once you get it up there? Oh, you're switching hands.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Then you can do a lot of things with that. You can put it back again right here. Have it on your thumb.
Oh, man. Very good.
Now he's just showing off.
It's good to give Henry a try. Henry was pretty close.
Yeah, man, I don't know about that.
You're pretty close. Watch the monitors
here.
Whatever feels comfortable.
There you go.
Pretty close. And it's a lot harder.
I'll help you out. Put your finger like this.
Yeah.
Straight up like this. That's like perfect.
Is he going to get it?
Ready? Give me some space. Big guys. All right.
YouTube.com.
All right, this is amazing.
Here we go.
They like this?
Keep holding it there, Henry. All right. Going to get the hand off.
Good job.
All right, Joey, back
here.
Good job, Henry.
We should also remind people, Henry is like 6'2 himself, so seeing him next to him on YouTube is pretty fascinating to see the size difference.
Yeah, exactly. So, Joey, you're going to Children's Hospital now. Yep. We want to respect your time. And you and I were talking how great this hospital is. Your colleague will join you there.
Yep.
You do a lot of stuff with kids, I assume.
Yeah. I love going to the elementary schools and going to the hospital. You know, we're the Harlem Globetrotters, and I take big, big pride of being a goodwill ambassador of goodwill, because you guys know what we do on the basketball court. The slam dunks, the trick passes, trick shots. But for me, it's more about what we do off the court, how we go into different communities and how we go to the children's hospital and we go to the elementary school and talk to these kids and give them a memory of a lifetime. Some of these kids that are in the children's hospital, they always see me on YouTube, they see me on TV, and they see me on Instagram or social media, and they say, hey, I want to really go to a Harlem Globetrotter game. But you know what? They can't. They just physically can't. So I ask and I say, hey, you know what? We'll go to the hospital. We'll go to the elementary school. Let's give these kids a memory of a lifetime for the next generation. It's something that they're going to remember forever. And like I said, I know what it feels like. I've been that 9-year-old boy before. I've seen the Harlem Globetrotters come to my school. I know what this dude, this is like being a superhero. So for me to go in there, spending that time with them, spinning the ball on their fingers, talking to them, it's, I know I'm brightening up their day.
Absolutely, you are. March 2nd now. It's a
March
Sunday.
March 2nd. We have two games, 12 at 5.
Wells Fargo Center. Where do you go for tickets?
You go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com. You're going to see where we're going to be playing at. If you can't make it to the Wells Fargo Center, it's all right. You could always go on the website, HarlemGlobetrotters.com. See what city we're going to be at. We travel to 300 cities a year. And then you can see, hey, I couldn't go to the Wells Fargo Center, but I can go to Allentown. I can go to Atlantic City and see the Harlem Globetrotter. And most importantly, do not forget to get a Hot Rod jersey, because they will make you 7 foot tall.
Hey. It's pretty lofty claim you got there, Hot Rod.
We'll be there on March 2nd. And if you have any time, I'll show you the jump hook. I think I could get that off
Yeah.
How far can you throw a football?
I never try. Really tried.
How far do you think I could throw a football?
I don't. 40 yards?
Yes! Oh, yes!
Wow. Yes! Yeah, that was not planned.
Yes!
40 yards? Not planned.
Jeez! That's hard. You got
a long-running meme on this show that Dom swears he can throw
a
football 40 yards.
Call in from any places you want.
Cannot believe.
Was that a setup?
No setup at all.
Hey, Joey, pleasure. You are a great ambassador.
Thank you for the trick.
We need a little more practice.
Yeah, I got you.
Thank you, Joey. Headed off the Children's Hospital. We'll have more coming up here on Joey Hot Rod De La Rosa on Talk Radio 1210. All right, this is Dom time. What a guy. That was, we were kidding, Henry and I. We're going to be spinning a ball at Mulligan's. Now, I don't know. I was talking to him. Of course, the guy's looking at me like, where is this Mulligan's? Ah, Chambersburg. It's got to be 15 minutes away. But I'd love to see by then. It's difficult. I think you got to get it on your hands and then spin it onto your other figure. Spin it a little bit on your hand after you spin it in the air. Henry came pretty close on one exchange, but
yeah, pretty close.
It's not easy. We need a lot more practice. All right. We are monitoring three big hearings and President Trump's statement on the air traffic controller situation and the horrific accident yesterday. Phone lines are 855-839-1210. I'll give you the side question in a moment. Here is Tulsi Gabbard opening statement today about who's puppet and being a puppet and all those claims about she's a puppet of various people.
Before I close, I want to warn the American people who are watching at home. You may hear lies and smears in this hearing that'll challenge my loyalty to and my love for our country. Those who oppose my nomination imply that I am loyal to something or someone other than God, my own conscience, and the Constitution of the United States. Accusing me of being Trump's puppet, Putin's puppet, Assad's puppet, a guru's puppet, Modi's puppet, not recognizing the absurdity of simultaneously being the puppet of five different puppet masters. The same tactic was used against President Trump and failed. The American people elected President Trump with a decisive victory and mandate for change. The fact is, what truly unsettles my political opponents is I refuse to be their puppet.
All right, that's the line. That's the theme of the testimony today. We had Victoria Coates on yesterday, and she made the point that it looks like the vote of the Intelligence Committee would be in secret. Now, will Tom Cotton allow that or not? Remember, she has to get over the hurdle of the Intelligence Committee. I believe it's 9 to 8 Republicans. All 8 Democrats will vote against her. Will a Republican or two? If they have to do it straight up, that we see the vote, probably not. If they can do it in secret so that no one knows how anybody voted, at least on paper, then that might be a different story. So what will Cotton do? I think in the end, he's going to demand that the American public see this. Cash Patel, I've been following a little bit, and they centered in on things like January 6th and how he felt, attacks on police, etc. I think he was doing rather well that I saw. But the big story today, before we give you the side question, of course, is President Trump coming out of that news conference around 11:30 or so, talking about air traffic controllers and some of the breakdown in standards and what that means. And he said within an hour there'd be more information coming out. I'm waiting anxiously to see, are they releasing more tapes during this flight? Is there something else? Because this news conference was very difficult, to put it mildly.
A reporter did ask him to clarify whether he was blaming diversity and saying if it had something to do with the crash.
Right.
We haven't played the audio yet.
Do you want that? Yeah, let's hear it.
Today, blamed the diversity elements, but then told us that you weren't sure that the controllers made any mistake. You then said perhaps the helicopter pilots were the ones who made the mistake.
It's all under investigation.
I understand that. That's why I'm trying to figure out how you can come to the conclusion right now that diversity had something to do with this crash.
Because I have common sense, okay? And unfortunately, a lot of people don't. We want brilliant people doing this. This is a major chess game at the highest level. When you have 60 planes coming in during a short period of time and they're all coming in different directions, and you're dealing with very high-level computer work and very complex computers. And one of the other things I will tell you is that the systems that were built, I was going to rebuild the entire system, and then we had an election that didn't turn out the way it should have.
All right. So
It's a moving target here. He is bringing up diversity here. And as a broad principle, I agree with him. It erodes. And I think Vance put it pretty well in talking about this, of how it erodes. But there was a little bit too much of appearing to blame the air traffic controller in this. I don't hear that in what we have. That's why I'm waiting to see, is there more evidence that the air traffic controller was too stressed out, that there was something wrong here because this organization is going downhill a bit? And I asked the question that I hope Pete Hegseth, my first question in sync prior to the president's news conference was, do you have to train for combat in a zone like that? Who knows? Or is it just the Ford is nearby and that's where they keep the helicopters and that's why they train? Because is it a combat situation coming in and landing in these areas, being in these areas? Or would it be better in an area where if there's trouble with a helicopter, we don't have other planes around? I'd like to hear Pete Hegseth get to the bottom of that. That might be the type of thing. They just have been doing it, and who knows if it's actually combat needed to be doing that. 855-839-1210. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, all that you have to do is just push pound 1210. All right, let me give you the side question. So this week, we talked to Colonel West about it too, that we had a situation where Alan West was talking with me about the Tuskegee Airmen and how President Trump's executive order and dictates on ridding us of DEI had this situation at the Air Force Academy where they pushed back and took out an inspirational tape for pilots of the Tuskegee Airmen. And there's a military term for it we talked about. Malicious compliance. In other words, you're complying with the letter of the law, but not the spirit. You're going overboard to say, yeah, I don't, passive aggressive, in other words. So I thought it's time to roll out oxymorons, and we want to get some new ones. When an oxymoron comes up, you know what it's about. Someone trying to have it both ways, someone conniving. Or just something funny that happens, like jumbo shrimp.
Oh.
One that's conniving is plastic silverware. You can't have plastic silverware. It's plastic. But they want to call it that. It's like high-end.
Well, you ever see the kind that they make look kind of like silverware?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, we had that in the studio the other day.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. But it's not silverware. It's not silverware.
But it's colored silver.
Spray painted silver.
Yeah, well, it's still plasticware. Okay. So hit us with that. 855-839-1210. I want to get to your call. And Dan, I thought of one from you since you don't like Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Parting is such sweet sorrow.
Oh, sweet sorrow.
How could it be sweet sorrow?
Mm-hmm.
What was the bard thinking of there? Just something.
I think there's some sweets. Like when something comes to an end, there's the sweet sorrow of it. It's nice that, you know, onto newer pastures, but there's a sorrowness.
I think that's an oxymoron. I really do.
It is.
Yeah. All right. Get in on the President Trump statement. So you can do that at 855-839-1210. At the end of your call, hit us with your all-time oxymoron. Malicious compliance is just a brilliant one. Henry, what's yours?
Yeah, so the first one I'll take off here would be civil war.
If
it were really that civil, you wouldn't need a war to duke it out. And then the other one I'll take off is a movie title. It's pretty obvious if you think about it. Back to the Future. We're not going back.
Okay.
Going forwards to the future.
One of my favorite films.
Yeah.
Dan, how about yours?
How about one that's specific to Philadelphia, Dom? Safe Drivers.
Yeah. Okay.
Works, right?
Yeah.
You can't be a driver and safe if you're in the city of Philadelphia.
In the city of Philadelphia. Got it. Okay.
That's all I got for now.
All right.
Took me a while to come up with that one.
Sleep on this one.
855-839-1210. That's how you get in. So my bottom line, whenever you see an accident like this, a major tragedy, the number of people dead, first of all, ridiculous on Twitter, the conspiracies. Who was on the plane? Who were they trying to take out? Was this auto-controlled? Stop it already. You're sick. if you're going down that path when something like this happens. But there are angles to this stuff that are broader. So one whole side immediately went after Trump because of something President Trump talked about, this directive he put out about air traffic controllers recently. And they're trying to say that by telling the federal workers they have to come in to be employed, buyouts and all the rest of it, we're going to have more air traffic problems due to the fact we're taking out people that are skilled by the way Trump is acting. Trump's counter today was ready to give us the FAA and the diversity standards. So we should have to know, is there evidence of that? 855-839-1210, you get on board. All right, I see a question coming up I'll take, but this really gets into the whole DEI diversity thing. All right, and Trump did that today. And again, I think you can talk about things like this while it's fresh so that you make a public point. But is this a bridge too far with immediately trying to link it up to DEI and the FAA? All right? More evidence, we're waiting, is supposed to come out by now. We'll see before the end of the show if we have anything else. Hey, are you looking to achieve your health goals and start the new year right? Now's the time to optimize and support your heart health, cholesterol, digestive health, energy levels, and more with Rescue Natural Supplements with their New Year savings. Rescue is celebrating you. Save 35% on single bottles of Rescue supplements. Use the code HEALTH35. Try the popular Rescue 1250 Omega-3 for heart health, Rescue Probiotic for better digestion, or Rescue Orasine for more energy. Whatever your health goals, Rescue has you covered. To place an order, call 800-26-ALIVE. That's 800-262-5483. Speak to a Rescue product consultant or shop online at res-q.com, res-q.com. Start your journey to better health today. Use that code HEALTH35. Again, save 35% on all single supplements with the code HEALTH35. Don't wait. Make this year your best yet with Rescue. Okay, Dom Giordano Show, 855-839-1210. So we have three hearings going on. We'll have one of the RFK Jr. people at 2. We'll have Griff Jenkins, the really border guy all these years for Fox, to give us an update. But the bombshell will be if we see more evidence of what President Trump was talking about specific to this horrific, people on Twitter don't want to be called an accident. Okay. Can't use accident now. Let's go to Mark in Philly on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Mark, welcome in.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, so my oxymoron is happy wife, happy life.
I don't think that's an oxymoron. I think you can both have a happy wife and a happy life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't know that that's an oxymoron.
Are you Hasan been sober from
Twitter? Yeah, right. I was wondering where you're going with that. Okay.
Hey, I got a question. Do they know the nationality of the helicopter pilot?
Well, there were three of them. You mean the one that was in training?
The pilot. It's whoever was flying it.
Well, I think it was a shared thing. So why are you asking that?
I'm just saying with, you know, everything the way, like the Muslim community, how we had a couple instances in the past, just try to question that out, you know what I mean?
Well, I'm sure we're going to get more information on everybody there. We'll keep an eye on that. Thank you, Mark. I don't see any indication, though. You know, to be able to know that you're going to crash a helicopter into a flight around here is a little ridiculous. But let's go to Paul in the Northeast here on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Paul, welcome in.
Hello, Dom. I'm a retired Air Force flight engineer. I have spent 20 years on flying C-141s out in McGuire.
Okay.
And I think President Trump jumped the shark here. It's way too early to make the call. First of all, you got to do autopsies on the crews. You got to check maintenance records. You got to check aircrew training records. You got to check flight data recorders, voice data recorders. All this takes time. It takes weeks just to get a preliminary a preliminary report out. He can't do this in 24 hours.
Okay, and he jumped the shark in what? That he's suggesting the air traffic controller due to what the Biden administration did?
You don't know. First of all, it's possible it could be an aircrew error. And that's usually the most likely cause. But weather's also a factor. I know.
Let me ask you though. Now you flew the cargo planes, but I think, Hegseth, what I'd like to see look at it, should you be training in an area like that? Is that what warfare is like, given what is clearly a high risk? That's the most landed runway, apparently, in the country.
Okay. One of the things to consider, Ed, the airplane I flew had with full fuel tanks, had a 3,000-mile range. Now, this helicopter may only have a 100-mile range. I don't know how much fuel he has.
Well, what I'm saying maybe you have to place the helicopters in a different site other than the fort that is nearby there to train. It's too crowded, it strikes me as.
I agree with you. It's, I think that if you use helicopters in that area, it should be just Coast Guard and flights for national security purposes.
Yeah.
You'd have to look at the I don't know what the requirements were that night. They were doing an evaluation. Maybe they had to fly through a corridor. Maybe he had to do a certain type of approach. I have no idea.
What I'm saying is, Paul, if that's a requirement in the military, flying through a corridor, I get it. Well, what I'm saying is you got risk-reward here. You know, this is very, very tight. With anything that goes wrong, it's not just the three people on the plane. You're going to kill civilians. I would question and say the military ought to look at that again.
I'm sure they will. You know, unfortunately, all our regulations were pretty much written in blood. You know, somebody makes a mistake, so it's okay. Yeah. We need to look at that. And we make the evaluation. Sometimes you just can't foresee every incident. And I realize any flight around Reagan or any flight around any major, Newark, JFK, they're all going, you know, you always have to take that in risk. There were times when I was doing opening day shows or flyovers for like the Phillies opening day.
Right.
And we had to be conflict with the international airport.
Yeah. Oh, I get it. Thank you, Paul. Again, something that Pete Hegseth, I think, will look at there. Do you continue to do it in that zone? Is that connected to being war ready? Or can that be simulated someplace where if something goes wrong, you're not causing this type of damage? All right, we're still waiting on the information. I'm not sure what President Trump was talking about to be released as far as more information about the tapes that he kept on talking. We'll see. I am all in the camp of talking about while something is fresh in mind. I just think, to Paul's point, this went a little bit too far. It suggested air traffic control, FAA. We don't know that. You know, in a day or two or after more information, to make the point to say, while we're on this subject, the FAA, we're going to really reform this because this is something that is life and death. And we've talked about many times, DEI, progressives, and all this stuff. Sometimes it's just silly. You can't say aloha. Many times, though, it'll get you killed. So I take his point, but I don't know that it's connected to this. And if you're going to be dancing around that, given this death, I'd advise don't do it. Don't do it at this way. You really can't. I know you're wound up. These others are attacking you, saying you caused that. A guy wrote that last night. You're going to see more of these accidents because of what Trump did in this memo. All the memo said was, you want to buy out federal workers? You're going to have to come to work. We want the best and the brightest. Right away. That means you won't be able to drink the milk. You won't be able to fly because all these federal workers, we do have the term non-essential federal workers, and a lot of them are. That's not every federal worker, but it just means stop it already with your unions and everything else. I just think Trump got into areas here too sensitive for today. To you. Griff Jenkins, just an all-time great guest, and the Fox News Channel, just jack of all trades, but principally the border. What is he seeing as far as immigration? He's next on Talk Radio 1210.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.